have a desire to share Jesus with others, but perhaps the thought of witnessing to another person makes you uncomfortable. What if I told you it doesn't have to be that way? Hello and welcome to Love and Encouragement to Live By. I'm Tammy Thompson, a Christian author under the pen name of T.S. Thompson.
And I'm Jo Heather Dodson, founder of Your Christian Coach. Thanks for joining in today for your weekly dose of love and encouragement as we talk about telling your story to inspire others to deeper Christian living. Oh, it's a joy to be with you guys here today on the podcast, and I'm looking forward to digging into our topic about witnessing, testifying, and telling your story. I grew up in a small church in a small town in North Carolina, and because of that, I had an incorrect impression that nearly everyone around me knew who Jesus was. Then, in my teenage years, I came to a greater understanding that there were a lot of people around me who didn't have Christ in their lives at all. But I wasn't sure how to share my faith with other people. I may have been that teenager who told others they were wrong about their choices. I really don't remember. But I can tell you this, in my early adulthood, I came to an even deeper realization that I should be witnessing to others about Jesus Christ. And some of you may use the word testifying here. You know, witnessing is basically showing proof of something or giving evidence. And testifying means the same thing, to make a declaration for the purpose of establishing a fact. Well, I was totally intimidated by those two words, witnessing and testifying. I mean, what did they really mean? How could I be a witness? I didn't have a lot of scriptures memorized, and I wondered what I would do if people asked me questions. Maybe you identify with this. I heard other Christians talking about the Romans road to salvation. I looked into it, and I thought, how can I remember all those references? I didn't think I could do that. I read Matthew 28, and I knew that part of being a Christian was witnessing to bring others to Christ. In that passage, Jesus had risen from the dead, and his words to the disciples were, "Go and make disciples of all nations." Well, I knew I was his disciple, but I didn't know how to go and make other disciples. I was like, how can I do that? It just sounded too difficult for me. I was very intimidated. But then one day, the scales fell from my eyes because of a word of wisdom from a fellow Christian. And I finally learned how to look at witnessing in another way. And that's what we're going to talk about today on the podcast. But before I get much further, Tammy, how about you? What are your memories about witnessing or testifying in the early days of your Christian walk?
Yeah, it's a great topic, a great question. I know when you were talking, I was thinking, you know, I kept hearing the words, she had a desire in her heart. She had that desire in her heart. She had that desire to want to share. And that's the first important step, right, is a desire to want to share. If you don't have that desire in your heart to go out and share, it's going to be hard to share about Jesus with other people, right? That's what was coming to my mind when you were talking. But like for me, you know, I guess I had mixed results early on. I received Jesus in a cell in Baltimore as a runaway and a drug addict at age 16. And but there was a drastic change. There really was a drastic change. And immediately the drug addiction was lifted from me and it has never come back. And I'm in my 50s now. It's never come back. That was an immediate, you know, blessing, you know, removal of that in my life. And so I was super excited about the news, right? Because I had received Jesus. And so I went out and I got a job working in a rehab with other teens because I really wanted to give what I had been given, right? I had a desire, like Joe Heather said, and I was really excited to share with other people to help them. And it was a mix because I was so, why did God, you know, so many people die of drug overdoses. And there were so many times I could have died and the Lord didn't let me. And why did they die? And the stories that I heard from in that rehab of the pain and suffering that was like multiplied what I had gone through. And it just broke my heart. But at the same time, I rejoiced because I was able to share. I mean, I could let somebody, there was a teenage girl, my dad made a prostitute for her and she had AIDS and she was going to die. And I could hold her and let her cry, you know, and tell her story to me and share about Jesus, you know? And so I was very blessed early on and I was very excited about that. But they, you know, I talked about being mixed. Not everybody receives. Not everybody receives when you're so excited to share the word. Not everybody's going to receive it. It's that desire first. And you just open your mouth, let Jesus speak to you. But, you know, I had also in my environment that I had grown up in, you know, my stepfather, he was an atheist. And he was very, very driven. He had a lot of good work values. There was a lot of things I learned from him early on about, you know, being faithful, doing a good job and not letting people down and stuff. But no matter how much I told him that, you know, the Lord did this for me, right? He would say, no, Tammy, you did it. You got yourself on drugs. You finally just turned around. And I'm so proud of you, Tammy. I'm so proud of you that you're finally, you know, off on these drugs. And you did it. You did it. You take credit for it. See, this is the mentality of some people. You know, they take credit. That's that pride. You know, you take credit for stuff. And I said, no. I said, there's no way. I said, I was in and out of rehab from age of 13. There's no way in my own strength that I could have just one day, because you got to understand when I got to that end, that gutter, I really wanted to die. I mean, I had done drugs to like not feel pain growing up. And then I got to the point I didn't feel anything anymore. I didn't feel joy. I didn't feel pain. I felt nothing. I was a total walking corpse. And I just wanted to like just not wake up anymore, you know, do enough drugs where I don't wake up. That's where I was. And trying to explain this to him that there was no way that I could have pulled myself up from that situation to then get off drugs. There's just no way. The Lord, only God and all his mighty power and his strength and Jesus' strength can reach down the gutter at my lowest point and pull me up. And praise the Lord for that, because I'm so grateful that at my lowest point that God didn't just, you know, walk by me because I wasn't worthy, you know, and I wasn't worthy of my own. He, you know, it's because we're all creations of the Lord. He doesn't want anybody to perish. So I'm going to read you a verse, Matthew 19:26. But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. See, with God, it was possible, right? So my stepdad, he really has a hardened heart towards God. And I've talked, I think, about in previous episodes about why I think that is. But, you know, my stepfather and I, we haven't really spoken in, gosh, I think it's been over 20 years now, about that time. And it's sad because I continue to pray for him. I don't know if he's at a point where, you know, he can receive. I pray that, you know, God will soften up his heart, that he'll be able to receive. Maybe I planted some seeds along the way that the Holy Spirit will bring things back to his remembrance of maybe something he goes through that, you know, maybe he'll meet somebody else with a drug addiction. Who knows? Where they could say, I can't do to my own strength. And he'll remember those words I spoke. Or maybe God will send the right person into his life that will finish the sowing of the seed, that will he'll be ripe for receiving the word in there. So I just keep praying. And that's what we do. Sometimes we show up. We just show up all the time. We never know who's going to receive. But we have to say it, right? We have to say it because we have to let them make the choice if they're going to receive it or not. But I know I was going right there a lot. But before we dive too much into this topic today, I want to take a moment to let you know how you can find us. So depending on what platform you're listening from, be sure to like, share, follow, and subscribe to not miss future episodes. But the most important thing you can do, and we really mean this, is to share this podcast. Share it with your family, friends, loved ones, or anybody that might be in need of some love and encouragement. And on our website at loveandencouragement.com, we feature early access to both video and audio, so you can, you know, get it a little bit earlier than everybody else gets it. And if you think, well, I can't really go to your website every week, Tammy, that's no problem. Just go one time, sign up on our, we have a form. You can sign up on our email list and we'll email you the podcast every Wednesday. So with that, I'm going to turn it back over to Jo Heather and see what she's got to say.
All right. Thank you, Tammy. I so appreciate you candidly sharing your story, about where you've come from and what those early days walking with the Lord were like. And I know that many of our listeners are really identifying with your story, and especially about sharing your faith with your stepdad and how you keep praying for him today and praying that the Lord would raise up workers in the field to keep cultivating, to keep nourishing the seeds that were planted, because I know I have loved ones in my life who I too am praying for. And a lot of times these are people who aren't close to me physically for me to directly witness to. And so again, I pray that the Lord will raise up workers in the field who will testify to them about Jesus. And I pray that the Lord will change what's called their heart of stone to a heart of flesh. And this is in reference to what's written in Ezekiel 11, 19, and 20, which says, I will give them one heart and a new spirit I will put within them. I will remove the heart of stone from their flesh and give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes and keep my rules and obey them. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God. And so that is a great prayer that, if you have loved ones that aren't close to you, that you can pray that the Lord would raise up people. And so, all right, well, let's talk about you. As I was saying, telling my story early in the podcast, I was so intimidated about witnessing to others. I know I had some kind of mental block about what it meant and how to do it. And maybe I could look at that now with eyes of spiritual warfare. Maybe the enemy didn't want me to know how to do it, to be too intimidated by it. But I praise God that a godly man named Warren Ginn came to my Sunday school class at the time, and he spoke to us about witnessing. And he said, witnessing is about telling your story. Well, for me, hearing that was like the clouds parted and I could finally see the sun. I mean, he explained that no one can tell your story but you. And no one can truly question your story because it's yours. Now, they can put their own spin, as Tammy mentioned, with their stepdad. They might take what you say and go, well, it's this, but it's your story. It's your story. And you can tell others your story and not worry about spouting off specific scriptures in a specific way. Now, if the Lord leads you to do that. We're going to talk more about the uniqueness of it. But really, all you have to do is have the courage to share your story and rest in the knowledge that the Lord is with you in the sharing. Now, at this point in the podcast, you may be asking, why? Why should I tell my story to others? Well, we've already mentioned the first reason, and it's because Jesus commanded us to do so. Another reason is because of love. Our love for God and our love for other people. Tammy mentioned the desire. The love is part of that love, the desire to, compel us to share the truth that Jesus is the only way to eternal life in heaven. And Jesus tells us so himself in John 14, 6, when he said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So now I want to move us on to the how question. How will people know the truth if they don't hear about it? Romans 10 makes it abundantly clear. I'll say it again. How will people call on the Lord if they haven't heard the truth? And who do they hear it from? You. They need to hear from you. You are the one crossing their path, and you're there for a reason. And the reason is to share the good news about Jesus. Acts 1:8 gives us more on the how to witness to others. Again, here's Christ speaking to his followers after he was resurrected from the dead. Christ says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me, Jesus, in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. So this again is abundantly clear that we are supposed to be witnesses to Jesus Christ everywhere we go. And we receive the power to do this witnessing, this telling of your story. The power comes through the Holy Spirit. Realizing this truth was a big relief to me, and I hope it is to you, because it tells you that you don't have to witness in your own power. You don't have to fret over what you're going to say or how you answer questions. You witness by telling your story through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, maybe for you, this still sounds hard. If so, this might be your moment to pause the podcast and ask the Lord a question. How can I lean on the power of the Holy Spirit to have the courage to tell my story to others? So I'm going to give you an example from my life of when the Holy Spirit led me to witness in a unique way. Okay, I used to work for an interfaith organization. And we were people of all faiths, working with people of all faiths. And because of that, we were very respectful of one another's faith beliefs, which basically in part meant we didn't proselytize to each other. That means, if you don't know what proselytize means, it means to tell you information to convert you to my way of thinking. And so basically it meant I didn't testify or witness about my faith to my coworkers. Now, I still talked about my story, But this unique experience was a little bit different than that. I was very open about talking about, you know, what I did with my church, what my family life was like. You know, I kind of told my story. But one day, that wasn't enough. And this could happen to you, and I'm just giving you this as an illustration. One day, the Holy Spirit led me to speak to one of my Jewish coworkers. The Holy Spirit had me walk over to her workstation, and the next thing I knew, I was talking to her in a way I never had before. God had something to say to her, and my job was simply to open my mouth and to let His words come out. And to be honest, I don't know what the words were. I can't remember what it was even about. I just knew God used me to speak to her because He needed her to hear something from Him. And so all I had to do was obey His leading, and He took care of the rest.
Amen. That's powerful. And it should encourage those people listening that if you're in a situation, you'll feel it. Trust me.
Yes. Yeah.
You will feel it. Just open up your mouth. Don't worry. Don't let your head get involved. Don't worry about what you're going to say. You're probably not going to remember afterwards anyways, right? Just be obedient. Open up your mouth. Let the Holy Spirit, right? That's what's guiding you. The Holy Spirit has something He wants to say about Jesus to that person. And that could be life or death, that person. You know, it could be life changing. It's freedom from bondage. You know, the truth will set you free. You have no idea what that person could have been praying, right? For somebody to come and tell them about Jesus, and you're the one. So just, you know, look at it as an exciting moment to just be the voice for the Lord. So yeah, very, very powerful. So, wow. So anyway, so I was totally open, you know, about, you know, my drug use and stuff is part of my testimony. I look back, and that's just how I came to know the Lord, right? Is through that experience. And there's more of that story I'll share at some point, because it was really the Lord. I'll share it right now. I'll share it right now. So I'm hard. The Lord's like, speak, team, speak, just go and speak. So when I ran away, my mom was at work. And she had a vision, and she saw a little girl, and I'm going to try not to cry and tell the story. She's a little girl running up to Jesus, and Jesus bent down and picked the girl up. And when it turned around, it was me. And He said, "Today is the day you give her to me." And when she went home, my brother said, "Tammy's not here." And she says, "I know, but it's going to be okay." And that was when I ran away. And so the Lord knew that I was coming to Him one way or another. I was coming to Him. And He looked after me the whole time. I was a runaway and everything. And that's just, you know, so I mean, I can't imagine my mom. I have teenage boys now that are, you know, beyond that age when I ran away. I don't know how she went through that as a parent. But anyway, so I remember, you know, at one point in my life, so I had been always open and honest. And so I had, at one point I had gone in to get my security clearance. And I had to have a polygraph done. Now this just goes to show you how far God can pull you out of the gutter and take you to a new part, right? I was a programmer, you know. I mean, you know, I'm using my mind to do complex things, right? And I'm applying for a security clearance at an agency, right? As a contractor, so I had to go in and get a polygraph. So the way that this is, and they strap you up, and they have the two-way mirrors, and they ask you all these questions. I'm totally honest. You have to be, as the government. You cannot lie to them. They do background investigations. They would know if you're lying. It was a very strenuous, long 2-year process to get this security clearance. So I remember this like it was like yesterday. I can totally see this woman now as we're sitting in the room, and she's asking me, you know, they're asking me questions. I'm all tied up to the monitors to see if I lie. And she asked me this question. She says, how can we tell if you're ever going to do drugs again? Now, that's a valid question, right? The government wants to know, are you going to suddenly just start, you know, doing drugs where you're working with, you know, secure information? And so this is what and again, you just open up your mouth and you just let the Holy Spirit, you know, because I basically explained to her. I said, you know, I was alone and empty all my life. I felt like nobody ever loved me. I felt empty and alone. And I did drugs to cover up, you know, all those ugly emotions and stuff. And I said that, you know, I talked earlier about how I didn't feel anything towards the end. And when I got saved and went in that cell, and when I asked the Lord to hold me and carry me, he came to me and he said that he would never leave me no matter what. And I felt him, and I knew in my heart it was true. I knew that I'll never be alone ever again. And that changed my life, right? I don't need to do drugs anymore, because the Lord took my drug addiction away and he gave me himself in exchange. And what a beautiful thing, right? And as I shared this with her, she's sitting across the room, and she's got her back, so the people who are behind the glass can't see her. And she's crying. She's got tears running down her face as she's listening to me. And I knew she believed me, but I think I'll know when I go to heaven, but I think God had a greater message for that woman that day. You know, so she believed me. I got my security clearance and went off and did that. But, you know, you never know. What we're talking about here is you never know how valuable that message is for the receiving person on the other side. And you just speak, and God's going to give you the right words. So let me just see where back, I know I was getting off track a little bit there. Let me see where I was in my thing. So, you know, people, and we talked a little bit about this, that, yeah, I don't know. Maybe she was asking for a message. We don't know when we run into people, you know, if they're asking for a word from God. Maybe they want to know, is this really you, God? Are you answering my prayers? Can somebody tell me, you know, how can I change, you know, something in myself? How can I come to know you? Maybe I'm not worthy. Maybe I've done too many bad things. You don't know what it is, but you could be the answer to that person's prayer. You just have to show up. You just got to, you know, like when Jo Heather, she felt it. Like she just had to go across the room and open up her mouth and let God do the rest. So I do want to read you a simple passage here from 2 Peter. It's 2 Peter 3, verses 8 through 10. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. The heavens will disappear with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. There's a clock ticking, right? This is an important message that we don't know how much time we have, right? We could be raptured tomorrow, you know. We could also die, and the end could come. We could die, you know. The person that's holding out, waiting for the right special moment to hear from God, they might pass. It's important that we realize that there's a you know, God's patient. He wants everybody to know. He will move people around and do certain things so that you get the message and that you're able to be at the right place at the right time. And you might be, you know, inconvenienced. You might be on your way to catch a plane, right? And you miss it. And you're thinking, well, this is an inconvenience. And yet somebody just prayed for the word of God, and you're sitting next to that person waiting for your flight, your next flight. Do you see how God will work all things together to make sure that nobody perishes, right? But you still have to do your part. You still have to open up your mouth and speak. You got to have compassion for the lost, right? Just like that's what Jesus wants us to have compassion. Because, you know, he looked out there and he was like, the workers are few, He has compassion. He wants you to have that same compassion. So that's one of the things for me is that, you know, I want to make sure that, I mean, I get excited about sharing the news with people. And I want you to have that too, because it is exciting. It is exciting to tell others about Jesus and not just set them free so that they don't go to hell, right? But they can be set free the bondage of narcotics, of drugs, just like I was. They can be set free from, you know, some financial strain from the way that they're living, you know, just so many things. And so we're just encouraging you today. I'm getting ready to pass back to Joe Heather. We're just encouraging you today to just be that voice. Be willing, and the Lord will use you in great many ways.
Mm. Amen. Amen. Oh, thank you, Tammy. I'd like to take a moment to share about our sponsor today. And the sponsor spotlight is about the Mallard Creek Presbyterian Church Prayer Quilt Ministry. The purpose of the ministry is not to make and distribute quilts, but to promote prayer through the use of quilts. The quilt symbolizes a statement of faith in God and in His power to comfort, strengthen, and heal. Since the first prayer quilt was delivered in 2013, the ministry has given out over 800 quilts and nearly 300 pillowcases in 19 U.S. states, as well as Spain and Africa. As our volunteers say, it's not about the quilt. It's all about the prayers. If you want to support this important ministry or find out how to start one for your community, contact Sue Ayler by emailing CSOEHLER@bellsouth.net. That's CSOEHLER@bellsouth.net. If you'd like to sponsor a future episode of this podcast by featuring your favorite ministry effort, contact us at loveandencouragement.com. So, what can telling your story look like for you? We are all unique and different, and the Lord calls us to witness in unique and different ways. I heard some great advice at a recent church workshop. Don't wait to not be nervous before telling your story. Getting nervous and stepping out in faith is a part of the process for all of us. I can tell you, on the day that the Lord said, go to that woman's workstation, my heart was pounding out of my chest. I thought I was going to have a heart attack. So this is whether you've shared your faith with another person before, or whether you do it all the time or you've never done it, it doesn't matter. I just want you to know the Lord will give you the strength to overcome your nervousness and anxiety. You just have to step out boldly like the disciples did in Acts 4. Read that and be encouraged. Christ commanded us to go, and then He equipped us with the Holy Spirit. But He didn't say, you won't be afraid, you won't be nervous, you won't be anxious. He didn't say that. So don't wait for that. So I want you to release that first. Okay, so the next stop in the journey, or maybe it's the first stop to help you overcome what's holding you back, is prayer. You want to pray for the Holy Spirit to guide you. And you're praying spiritual warfare. We've talked about that on different podcasts, and I know we will again. So have yourself covered in prayer. Then I want you to make a plan. I want you to write a little note on your phone or a sticky note. I just want you to think about who you're going to interact with, whether it was that day or in the coming week or even for a month. Then make intentional time to interact with that person or group of people. So how do you do that? You're like, I don't know how to do that, Joe Heather. I've never done it before. Well, when you're together, ask about the other person first. You don't just launch into your story. You ask about them, because this is relational. It's about love, right? We talked about that. Now, if you're just meeting someone new, or you've just never had a conversation with this person, maybe it's somebody in the grocery store that works there and you always see them stocking the shelves. Maybe it's in another environment. I don't know. You'll know. The Holy Spirit will lead you. But if you're just meeting them, and you have time and they have time, ask questions about their work or their family or the things that they like to do for fun. Now, if you're with someone you already know or a family member, you know, ask them about what's happened in their life since you last saw them. because it's important to express your genuine interest in the other person before you just launch into telling your own story. I mean, we know what that's like. We know what conversations are like with other people who only talk about themselves. That's not what this is about. So if you're saying, hey, Jo Heather, I still need some examples here, I want you to look to Jesus as your example. Grab your Bible, read John 3, and consider how Jesus witnessed to the Pharisee Nicodemus. You can also read in John 4, the next chapter, about how Christ witnessed to the Samaritan woman. It was different in both circumstances. Read them both. But Jesus connected with each of these individuals socially. He encountered them as he was moving through life. And it was through these connections that he was able to open the door, so to speak, to turn those conversations to spiritual things. And it's so encouraging to see the testimony given by both Nicodemus and the woman as to how their lives were changed by the conversation. So again, maybe you'll be in the store this week and you'll be waiting in line. Ask the Holy Spirit if there is a word of encouragement or comfort you can share with the person behind you. Or if you're in a restaurant, the Lord may lead you to ask the waitress or the waiter if you can pray for them. Or maybe you feel led to call a friend you haven't talked to in a while. After checking in about his or her life, continue to follow the Lord's leading and share your story about how the Lord has provided for you this week or how he's answered your prayers. You might be wondering, it's still not helping me, Jo Heather. I don't know what my story is. I actually had somebody, a very strong believer, who looked at me this weekend and said, I just don't know what story am I supposed to tell? What am I supposed to say? Well, just use your life circumstances and look for those that illustrate your personal need for Christ and how the Lord made an impact in your life. How did he make a difference? But be authentic, just like Tammy and I, sharing the parts of our story where we made mistakes or were confused or messed up. And then we talk about how God showed up anyway. It didn't matter how much egg was on our face. God was there. Because your goal with sharing your story is to introduce or remind the other person about Jesus. And your story may help the other person see that God loves them despite their life circumstances, what choices they've made, where they are. God loves them. You know, so share your story in a humble, respectful, sensitive, loving way. And of course, always avoid arguments, because sharing your story is not about saying who's right and who's wrong. It's just about giving evidence about what the Lord has done for you. And this evidence is proof of what he can do for others. Now remember, if the person you're talking to seems extremely uncomfortable or agitated by your story, change the subject in a gentle way. It's okay to do that, you know. And there will be times that the Holy Spirit will lead you to ask the other person if you can pray for them. And if that person says yes, which most likely they will, then keep the prayer short and simple. Just focus on thanking God for how much he loves that person and just saying, yes, thank you, Lord. I know you only want the best for them. And then lift up that specific request. Just keep it simple and loving. That's our goal.
Mm-hmm. That's a lot of good information, Jo Heather.
Yeah.
A lot of good information. And I was thinking, you know, when you were talking, going through that, yeah, I remember somebody that used to wake up every morning and say, okay, Lord, who do you have for me to tell about you today? You know, they would start their morning with, I know that you know, if I come, you're going to tell me. So they got ready in the morning to go out and say, who is it going to be? They were ready. You know, it could be somebody at the super, like you're saying, the supermarket, could be anybody. And they would just be ready and welcome. It was a great attitude, something to think about, you know. So I was also thinking when you were talking, like sometimes, you know, like Jo Heather was saying, that a conversation may not go right. You at that point, you just, like she said, you change it and you just pray for the person. You keep on praying for them, right? Because we might just be the seed sowers. They may not be ready yet. You know, it may take multiple times the different people in their lives to come in and witness. You know, sometimes people need a lot of evidence. You know, when people witness, it's kind of like it builds a case. so that they can come to know the Lord. And it may be somebody down the road. We may just be seed sowers, right? Preparing the way, the soil, their heart, and I think too, by just like Joe Heather was talking about, sharing love. They see us as Christians. They see us showing that love. That love is part of God. We're sharing God's love with them. And I think that if their heart is hardened, maybe that love starts to trickle in and soften up their heart and get it ready, So you just never know. You never know. You just go out and be, in faith and tell your story to people. It could also be that breaking point in their salvation. Maybe somebody else was a seed sower, right? And you get to be the one at that moment that can lead them to Christ. And you might feel nervous, but just trust in the Lord, because I bet you there are angels dancing around you at that moment when somebody is getting ripe to receive the Lord. Yeah, angels in heaven are singing and God is dancing, So, wow. So, yep, I'm going to pass it back to you, Joe Heather. What a great episode.
Wow, what a great, yes. I love that visual image you just painted for us. I'm a visual person, so I love that concept of the angels dancing and God rejoicing. I love it. Oh, I have so enjoyed talking about witnessing today and about how sharing your story isn't as daunting as it may seem at first glance. And of course, I like to give you a challenge question of the week. So here's your question. Who are you going to tell your story to this week? Think about it. Thank you guys for sharing time with us today. Just as a reminder, depending on what platform you're listening from, be sure to like, share, follow, and subscribe to not miss future episodes. If you want to be a sponsor of a future episode, contact us at loveandencouragement.com. Join us next time as we continue to offer you words of encouragement that remind you of God's awesome love.